Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Austin's attention and force him to follow up and add to it. So today, Austin was asked point blank, pretty much, why are you guys benching James Pierre for Darius Slay? And this is what he said.
You know, obviously, JP's done a heck of a job when he's stepped in for Slay, and he's done that. He's been around. He's done that before. But I think, again, when you have Slay, we have some veteran experience. And I think what we'll do is, you know, we'll see how that works out and in terms of where we want to utilize JP, because I think he's earned the right to be on the field. And we'll just go from there.
To follow up on, I mean, you said Pierre's been in these shoes before, but I feel like he's played better this time than his previous opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's not surprising. The way James worked, he's always been that way. If you guys remember, he was a COVID baby. We didn't see James until he got here during the COVID year at camp, and all he did when he got here was he just made a play daily in camp, and then we kept him, and he was one of the few guys as a free agent that made a roster that year. And so the way he's worked and prepared himself, I think each year he's gotten better, and so that's why at this, you know, in his sixth or seventh year, you know, he's playing a lot better in terms of when he does get an opportunity. And I think a lot of that is time on task and the way the guy works and the way he prepares. And that's why he's having some success.
I'm getting strong Nick Herbig vibes here from when Highsmith got healthy and Austin said, yeah, Highsmith is going to start, but we're not going to forget about Nick Herbig. We're not going to let Nick Herbig die on the vine. And then for the first two games after Highsmith came back, Nick Herbig was on a milk carton. He cited the veteran experience with Slay. He said, let's see how that works out, which the only positive thing I'll take from that is I would infer from that it sounds like Slay would be on a pretty short leash.
Well, that's where I think it's going to be different. When you make a Herbig comparison, Herbig is a better player than Pierre, and that's why it was like even more absurd that he was left to rot for a couple of games. Highsmith is a way better player than Slay in balance, especially this year's Slay. And I think that this is going to resolve itself most likely by Slay getting beat early in the game once or twice for decent gains. And then suddenly you're going to find 42 get trotted out there and more or less stay on the field. I've had multiple people posit that theory, and I tend to agree with it, that Slay's level of play or lack of level of play might resolve the situation for them.
But I was talking more about finding ways to use both, and I don't think that they'll do that. He said, let's see where we use him because Pierre's too good of a guy to just have on the sidelines. No, when the season started, they liked Pierre, and they played Slay 100% of the time, and he never played. It's going to take Slay screwing up.
But I think he's been bad enough that you can almost expect that, which is
the
problem.
Yeah, I know,
here.
Chris. Exactly. I don't want the expectation for the Bears game to be, we're going to see Pierre because Slay is going to screw up. The point spread in this game at the Rivers is 2.5 points. Slay screwing up and then getting benched might be the difference in the game. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, okay, nobody was more openly nasty about Tomlin's answer on this in the first place than me. I hate the decision. I think it sucks. I think any explanation is half-baked and could be more honestly stated as Mike believes in Darius Slay because Mike believes in veterans to a fault, and that is a flaw of Mike's. That is the actual truth here.
Let's get to another story that we forgot to get into yesterday, which I do think is one Steelers fans are interested in, and that's the Steelers' decision to not activate Corey Trice off the IR. That ends his season. He's not allowed to practice anymore because his window closed. That window is to allow a guy to ramp up to return. They're not letting him return, which means they have to shut him down. Here's what Terrell Austin said about Corey Trice's season ending.
It stinks for him. He's such a great, great young man. He works his tail off. He was always here just working. He's had a setback his first year, and he came back. And, you know, it just stinks to see a guy that pour so much into it not have an opportunity to get out on the field and have some success because, you know, he was working that way. He was trending that way, and injuries just set him back. So. But that's kind of the nature of our business. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of guys that are really good and talented and have the ability to play in this league that don't make it because of injuries. And I think, you know, he's just been set back and, you know, he's in here working already, you know, trying to plot his next comeback. And I applaud him for it because I know he'll make it.
Well, he had the same issue at Purdue, and that's why he slipped all the way to the 241st pick. And it's the same thing here. Played six total games. Had that interception in Denver last year in week two, which was a big play in that game. And that's really it from the guy. You know, that's why you get a bargain on somebody in the draft, but sometimes, you know, they're injury prone and they stay injury prone.
I mean, Peyton Wilson is kind of the other example of it on a lesser degree.
Darnell Washington, too, slipped in the draft because of a knee.
I think in Trice's case, he was clearly the most severe, I think, of the injury concerns there, because a guy like him at his size who can actually play corner well when he's healthy is extremely valuable, more so than either of those other two positions, in my opinion, to the average NFL team. I thought Austin kind of gave the game away there, too.
That it's done for him.
Yeah, because then he, like, almost self-corrected and said, well, I think he's going to make his next comeback. No, but he's already said guys don't make it in this league because they can't stay healthy and they otherwise would. And I'm like, well, that kind of tells me what you think of Corey Trice's time with the Steelers.
Who is the guy other than Ryan Shazier in the Mike Tomlin era who you would also say that about?
Injuries did him in.
Like, maybe was and never was because the injuries were so bad.
This is going to make you laugh. Given what he was trending like in college before he wrecked it, and then in the pros before he completely wrecked his knee. I don't even remember. The pro injury, yeah, it was the pro injury was the bad one. Sean Spencer.
That was the first one I thought about, too.
A solid
I agree
player.
With you. I'm not laughing. I agree.
Here's another local guy who played for Pitt who I think about all the time. Same position. Dan Mason was a very good linebacker for Pitt who just absolutely annihilated his knee in a college game. And I don't know what kind of NFL player he maybe would have turned into, but he was a very good Pitt linebacker who just shredded his knee.
Donnie, anybody come to mind for you along those lines?
I don't think so. I feel like you just named one with Spence. That was one that did pop
How
in there.
How about Senquez Golson?
I mean, he might be the OG of this. He didn't play a single game in the NFL.
The guy just never played at all.
Yeah. I mean, that was bad, bad.
I mean, who knows what he could have been. And they gave up on him pretty fast, man, as a high pick.
That makes me wonder, don't you ever wonder when that stuff happens? I mean, maybe you talk to people who would have told you why this happened. I always wonder if, like, when a guy gets hurt like that, if they watch closely the way the player does or does not attack rehab, and that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, if a guy is lollygagging through his rehab, clearly Trice, I think, was trying hard and just could not do it. I wonder with a guy like Golson, was he just, did he lose the love for football? Did he not want to put in the work to get back? Whatever. Did they just think that his shoulder was always going to be wrecked? Did they get bad medicals once the injury happened? All that.
Let's get one more here on Jalen Ramsey, his move to safety. And the man's coming back from getting spit on. I think he's had a ripple effect where his presence at safety has made the rest of the secondary better. Let's hear if Terrell Austin agrees on Jalen Ramsey's move, making the entire defense a better unit.
I think what it's done is there's not so much in terms of what we do differently coverage-wise. It's just we're able to streamline some things in terms of guys being in position. In this grouping, he's at nickel. In this grouping, he's at safety. In this grouping, he's at corner. We have less of that. And although he's really into that, is really steady. You know, you're not hearing it from a different guy. You might be saying the same things, but sometimes, you know, when you hear it from a certain guy, it rings. And so that's always, I think, been a good part and parcel for us keeping him in one spot.
So I would say that I think this is a coaching criticism of Mike Tomlin, but it's also going to come back around to a coaching compliment of Mike Tomlin. The criticism is he thought he could take Jalen Ramsey and use him as the queen on the chessboard, and this defense was going to take off to unparalleled heights because they had a guy that you never knew where he was going to line up, almost like Troy Polamalu, and because they have veteran players, everybody could get on the same page with him doing that, and they could have a different assignment like on every play, and it would work, and it would confuse defenses. Ultimately, it just confused themselves.
It did confuse defenses, like you said. Instead of confusing offenses, it confused them.
Right. And Deshaun Elliott not being there added to it, obviously, because apparently we learned from hearing Tomlin and Austin talk that when he was out, nobody could take direction from anybody else or take instruction from anybody else.
Which is, by the way, a criticism in and of itself of Tomlin.
But the compliment is he said, screw it. He bagged it less than halfway through the season, told everybody, including teams that listened to his press conferences and watched them, this is where Jalen Ramsey is going to go. He's going to just be a free safety, and it's helped immensely. The role definition and simplification of the defense, I think, has made it better, and that is a credit to him.
I think you have to have a very special defense with, like, not just the starting 11. I think more the reserves have to be good because guys are going to get hurt. To do, like, truly amorphous, like, every play is different, every responsibility is different, you have to have a very special group and a very special coordinator, and I don't think they have either of those. I am distracted briefly by Derek tweeting in another injured never-was Steeler. Famous free agent pickup, Ladarius Green.
Yep.
Another gem, another blast from the past.
But that was on them because they knew that he had an injury history in San Diego, and they gave him big money anyways.
Who's the all-time NFL example of it? It's got to be somebody.
Archie Manning played
a lot,
but just got.
Right?
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I would think
that's a really good one. How about Andrew Luck?
He had enough years where he put up stats. And
I know, man,
else.
But he could have been a Hall of Famer if he kept playing.
I feel like there's a quarterback besides Andrew Luck that we're missing whose career was cut way, way short.
I mean, do you guys put RG3 into that category?
A little bit.
Given
how
he
started. After it,
he was never the same because of
right,
injuries,
Yeah, he
though.
Was like a shell of himself.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. The segment sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. Fan Beer of the Month, Jack Worth Hard Ginger Beer, supports the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're joined right now by NFL analyst from the 33rd team, Steve Palazzolo. And Steve, I'm going to start you with the same double-barreled question I asked the preseason voice of the Steelers, Bob Pompiani, last hour. On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, what would you rate Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback? 10 is Tom Brady in his prime, and 1 is Shedeur Sanders.
Jeez, nice scale. I'd say he's about a 6, 5 or a 6 right now, Rodgers.
I'm going to say 5.5 then and take the middle.
There you go.
There. What would you give Mason Rudolph right now? Same scale.
I think he's a 4 to 5. He's a 4. He's a backup, and is, you know, who could step in and play pretty well. So I give Rodgers a little bit of a nod, even though the last couple of weeks I think were rough. I do wonder how much.
That's not a big nod.
Yeah. It's not a big nod. No. They're not, like, Rodgers is not playing anything close to his best. I feel like I've said that all year and been pretty consistent with Rodgers. I think the offense showed signs of life at points, but when we look back at it, what was that point? It was like the Bengals game. That was pretty much it. Bengals, historically bad defense.
Is Aaron Rodgers playing better than Ben Roethlisberger in his last couple seasons with the Steelers?
I don't think so. I think it's probably similar.
Ooh.
Ben was really, really conservative at the end, and I still think he had a little bit more in the tank, but I feel like the offense also held him down a little bit, where they weren't really throwing the ball down the field like they should have.
Steve,
but the last couple weeks have been rough for Rodgers, and now he's got the injury.
What about his play the last couple weeks has been maybe most disconcerting or the worst element of his game these last several?
Well, last week we mentioned the little spin-a-rooney that he did against the Chargers. I think there's a little bit of managing pressure, whether that's when it's in his face or, in the Bengals game, taking a sack or, getting hit, taking hits that he shouldn't. And just missing some throws. And look, it's tough weather. Like, weather matters. He was awful in the dome too, but it was more difficult throwing conditions, I think, on Sunday. That's probably a factor. I feel like he's just a tick off with a lot with some of his accuracy and feel. And that's where I think I mentioned this last week. That's where I think some of the aging comes in. It's not so much in like pure velocity or RPMs. It's when you're either your feet aren't set, or you have to handle pressure, or you have to do something quickly and quick twitch. I feel like that's where the age has showed up more for, say, Brady at 45 or Drew Brees at 40 or Brett Favre at 40. Those are the types of things that I think pop up, and I think that's what I'm seeing more from Rodgers. It's like when you have to do something quick and athletic and the arm just isn't there. You're just missing somebody downfield when he's throwing off platform. So I think the accuracy is just taking a hit when things aren't perfect in the pocket for Rodgers.
Steve, I'm sure you're familiar with the famed computer cowboy Ben B. Baldwin Twitter account that often sets people, their brains on fire with fourth down decisions, go for it, don't go for it.
I generally like that account, for the record.
I love that account, but every time I bring it up, people get mad at me, including you sometimes, Pony. Anyway, Ben does like an aggregator of all the offensive line rankings, like the qualitative measures and sometimes quantitative measures of offensive line play, and does that and then takes these metrics and also points out that they are factoring in how quickly the quarterback's getting rid of the ball. And I believe, Pony, it was the sixth best offensive line pass blocking, pass pro this year is the Steelers. Does that line up with what you're actually seeing with your eyes when you watch the Steelers' offensive line pass protect?
I don't know if is Ben saying that he's adjusting for time to throw, because I think that's always, even from a PFF grading standpoint, which I think is the best measure of the three that he uses, I think that's still tough to account for. Yeah, even with PFF and the context that they bring, and ESPN and their account and what they bring, I think they're still protected a little bit by the speed at which Rodgers is getting rid of the ball. I'd say they haven't been awful, but there's also this theoretical world where if Rodgers had a time to throw of like 2.8, 2.9, like he used to with the Packers, I don't necessarily trust this unit to hold up there. So it's one of those, is it a good descriptor of what's happened? I guess. I still think they're protected a little bit by the quick release. And if you said, hey, let's roll out there, it's 3rd and 10, do you trust them in pass protection? I'd say I trust them around middle of the pack. So not as bad as I thought that they could be. But I'd say more like middle of the pack, certainly not top 6 or 7.
Steve?
I have a scale question that I don't want to forget, Pony.
By all means, Pony. Go ahead.
Pony gave you the 10 is Tom Brady, 1 is Shedeur Sanders. I'm going to do my best on this one, because one of the other stories is that Darius Slay looks like he's going to get his starting job back, and even though James Pierre's been pleasantly surprising with his play, it's going to be the veteran who goes right back in there. If 10 is prime Darrell Revis and 1 is, let's just say, Artie Burns, how would you grade Darius Slay's play this year for the Steelers?
Artie Burns isn't as bad as Shedeur Sanders, so let's say a 3. He's definitely closer to Artie Burns than prime Darrell Revis. So let's say a 3 for Slay. I saw you calling for Pierre to get some more time. He's done a nice job the few times he's been out there breaking on the ball, making plays. So I wouldn't hate seeing more snaps for James Pierre.
All right, Steve. How should Steelers fans feel right now about trading the man that is 2nd in receiving yards and 2nd in touchdown receptions by a wide receiver to the Cowboys for a future 3rd-round pick, George Pickens?
Is this a Kay Adams response?
Yes,
come
potentially.
Kay, this was a little over the top, Kay. One of the worst trades in NFL history. That's a little absurd.
Wait till Kay finds out about Herschel Walker.
Kay. Oh, man. Former colleague, Kay Adams. Anyway, I don't think it's that big of a deal for Pittsburgh. I think you certainly had an idea of what George Pickens was here. I mean, I would be intrigued by Pickens and DK Metcalf being on the same team, but I think Dallas has done a nice job unlocking George Pickens. I know a lot of the trade was, you know, attitude and off-field, and they knew him inside and out for a few years, and they feel like they got the most out of him, and they were like, hey, we're probably not going to pay him long-term. Let's get a 3rd. Let's lock that in, and let's do it for next year instead of waiting for a potential comp pick a year from now. So I think it was a fine move by the Steelers in the long-term. In the short-term, it's intriguing to know, to think about what, you know, could Aaron Rodgers get a lot out of George Pickens and having DK on the other side? Would they be better this year? Maybe. But I think you're going to feel pretty good about it come draft time and when you start to look to the next couple seasons, which isn't always the most fun, but I think eventually you'll feel a little bit better about it as they're building the squad up again with a lot of picks.
Steve, I have to throw one more of these 1 to 10 scale things, because it's fun to try to identify mainly a player that represents the horrible end of the scale. How would you rate, this is kind of a two-parter, if Rob Gronkowski in his prime is 10, and Pony, name me just an absolute dog crap tight end who could do very little of anything right.
Rob Branchflower?
Tim Tebow. We'll call Tebow a tight end for this one. Perfect. Yeah. Where's Darnell Washington right now for you on that kind of scale? And how close, how close are we to him becoming less just like this physical curiosity and, oh my God, the guy's 3'11 by his own admission moving like this, and more towards he's just turning into a pretty good NFL tight end overall, like no weird qualifier or no gawking because he's the size of Andre the Giant?
That's my dad there, Andre. I'll say Darnell Washington, so he's closer to Gronk than Tebow, the worst tight end I've ever seen. So let's say a 6, Darnell Washington. I think the funny thing is when he showed up at Georgia as a freshman, he looked like a physical freak that was going to take over college football, and then Brock Bowers came in and he took over college football instead.
Yeah.
And then Washington just never never really had the feel as a pass catcher. It like never really came together. But at the time, you thought it could, and it hasn't until right now, where it's like, yeah, he's not awful catching the ball, and now he's, you know, pulling out Derrick Henry's stiff arms and everything. So, yeah, it's been a fun development, and honestly, it's like 7 years in the making. I felt like we were going to see it years ago at Georgia, so I'm not terribly surprised, but it's awesome that he's doing it at 311 pounds.
Steve, who wins Steelers-Bears and why?
Oh, what did I pick this? I think I picked the Bears for some reason. They're on the – it's, you know, two interesting teams. The Bears have a negative point differential. They keep finding a way to win at the end. And it's something that, you know, Tomlin and the Steelers have always found a way to do. So I think we see a really close, you know, Midwest type of game, AFC, NFC North leaders. But Pittsburgh Radio, I'll take the Steelers by three because the Bears, they can't just keep winning. They can't just keep winning on game-winning field goals. So Steelers, game-winning field goal this week.
All right, thank you, Steve. We'll talk again next week. There you have it. Steve Palazzolo.
Pittsburgh Radio, what a...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fine.
All right, it is time for a Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Soloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. And our football talk is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming now on Paramount Plus is the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, Academy Award winner. Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia,
Sam Elliott.
Landman, new season streaming now only on Paramount Plus. All right, Donald.
The Debrief, November 20, 2025. This coming out about a half hour ago, we now know the reason why C.D. Lamb and George Pickens were disciplined at the beginning of the game Monday night between the Cowboys and the Raiders. This coming from Calvin Watkins, who covers the Dallas Cowboys. C.D. Lamb said he and George Pickens missed curfew before the game in Las Vegas. The two were having dinner and a few drinks at Red Rock Casino. Lamb later denied that he was throwing up at the casino. He said it's even disrespectful to suggest that. because he knows how to hold his liquor.
It's a great quote. It's a great quote. It's the only. It's the kind of quote that you can only give when you win the game comfortably, when especially Pickens balled out in the game. I'm actually imagining CeeDee Lamb giving the quote directly, like in his voice, and laughing about it, Donnie. It almost seems like something from a sketch comedy show. It really does.
Few drinks.
How many drinks is a few?
I was going to say, few is doing a lot of work here.
Probably six or seven at least per person.
I do not think it was a casual night
two cocktails and a steak dinner.
Yeah, I don't. I think they knew the next game was a night game. They're in Las Vegas. They're playing the Raiders, who stink. I feel like those guys...
If I wake up with a hangover, I can get one of those saline bag drips to come in and, like, literally just fill me up with all the good stuff.
And I think if they barely missed curfew, Schottenheimer would have looked the other way. I don't know about the puking part, but I think them partying their ass off before they played this game
pretty rude.
Sunday in Las Vegas is a pretty good bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, the puking thing is funny only to me because maybe not only to me. I used to take it as a point of pride in the early college days. I don't puke when I drink. I've never thrown up because of drinking. And then I remember finally one day it just happened. And I was like, oh, this made me feel a lot better. And I just drank some water and went to bed afterwards. I became evangelized to that. But I used to take it as a point of pride that I just wouldn't yak.
I think Doran has talked about how Gronkowski used to kind of get after it the night before games. And then he would have – it wouldn't affect his performance whatsoever.
Oh, no, I can't imagine that. Teams. Rob Gronkowski getting after it before a game, that doesn't sound right.
I remember reading a feature about Jeremy Shockey in, like, Sports Illustrated when he was kind of the up-and-coming guy about he would get blasted during the offseason and be, like, vomiting from drinking.
Uh-huh.
And was – like, it was the duality of the player and was so maniacal about still working out that he would get – he would be hammered. And put on workout clothes and be doing sit-ups and push-ups while, like, legitimately stone drunk.
Do you think that Jeff Reed ever missed a curfew before a Steelers game because he was partying?
No, I think we need to switch this question. I don't even care if people think it's disrespectful to even suggest this. Do you think Jeff Reed ever kicked with a BAC that would have gotten him a DUI?
Yes.
Do you think that's why Tomlin pretty much came out and said, the second this son of a bleep starts missing kicks, he's so cut. I'm cutting him so fast.
I don't really care if some people out there think that suggesting this is disrespectful, because we know Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players ever, would be drunk on the field.
Yeah.
He would drink mouthwash. He was so desperate. That's a fact. I think it is a much better than 50-50 proposition that Jeff Reed kicked the football in NFL regular season games.
Because he was still feeling it from the night before.
With a BAC
game the next day.
That would have gotten him a DUI above the legal limit to kick.
I don't know about that. But
definitely hungover. There's no way he didn't have at least games where he went out there going, God, I feel like crap. Like, what is the chance he made, like, a 39-yard field goal in a game, trotted over to the sideline, maybe kicked the ball off if there was no TV timeout, and then just puked into a bucket?
I mean, this is just my opinion, and so people can't get mad at me because it's not – I'm not slandering anybody when I say this, really. When I went down to Miami and the Steelers lost that game to the Dolphins, in which Jay Ajayi – went for over 200 yards, and they were playing that stupid Miami Dolphins fins to the left, fins to the right song over and over again. Lawrence Timmons puked more than any man I've ever seen in my life.
I remember that.
And I don't think he was sick. Nobody told me that. He played at Florida State.
Humidity wouldn't bother him.
I was left to believe from that these guys in Miami –
party
might have gone out and done some things the night before the game. I don't think that's too big of a stretch. I saw Antonio Brown with about 5 minutes in that game when he started to feel like they were going to lose, run a long pass route. The ball got caught inbounds, so the clock is ticking, and he's like walking back to the line of scrimmage with a running clock, trailing in the game, because I think at that point he's just like, screw it, I don't care anymore. I'm tired from the night
before. I thought
the
one thing about him was that he didn't do that much. Like, he kind of did the whole my body is a temple bit for
really?
At least a while during his career. Yeah, I remember hearing that. Maybe obviously not true necessarily. Somebody with a good point, James in the YouTube comments. Everyone in YouTube, by the way, just, and that's one of the many ways you can consume the show, people are freaking out because YouTube's got a glitch today where most people have, like, their username on YouTube. Like, mine is Mulzy340, but then it displays as just Chris Muller. That's my display name.
Yep.
Everyone's usernames are their display names today or whatever. And so no one knows who anyone is, and there's been this whole process of figuring out, all right, which one of these people is Johnny the Barber, for example. Guy named James with a very good take here on the Reed hypothetical. He said if he kicked with at least a buzz, he probably kicked better. Way less jitters or pressure that he was feeling because he might have been half ripped. Not the worst theory I've ever heard. There are golf, not pro golfers, but there are like high-level recreational golfers, like scratch players who are like, yeah, I play a little better in a friendly round when I've had a few.
Well, those 04 Red Sox used to do shots before games.
I thought they said they would do a shot. Like,
okay.
Each guy did a shot.
Sure, Kevin Millar. He only did one.
Oh, okay. Kevin Millar might have done half the bottle.
Like the kicker and the replacements.
See, baseball's the sport where I think doing something like that would be the hardest to, like, perform well because it's such a hand-eye sport. Have you ever heard the story of Jeremy Roenick telling this one where he plays golf with Michael Jordan?
Oh, I've heard this, yeah.
Donnie, have you heard this? He plays golf with Jordan. They're having some pops. Like, the way Roenick describes it, it's probably, like, at least a six-pack apiece. Roenick, I think, was a pretty good golfer, so he's won a bunch of money off of Jordan. Jordan, they get done, it's like, you know, 11 a.m. Jordan goes, you want to play 18 more and get some more beers? Roenick goes, don't you have a game tonight? Jordan goes, don't worry about it. I think Roenick then says something, Pony, if you remember it right, he's like, I'm betting against you or whatever, I bet you won't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan goes out and puts like a 50 burger on the team they're playing.
Yeah.
Having had like at least a dozen beers earlier in the day. At least.
Donnie, can I take a sharp left turn and ask you a food question?
Okay.
FanDuel put out one of those tier lists that you see all the time now that PFT made popular. And they did it with French fries. And
oh,
tell me if you agree with
this, Donnie.
I thought
this was problematic.
Wait, hold on. Is this the main FanDuel account or the FanDuel Sports?
No, main FanDuel. Number one by itself at the top, McDonald's fries. Next tier down, curly fries from Arby's, waffle fries from Chick-fil-A. Do you agree with that, first of all?
This is just a Donnie?
Donnie will go first here.
Man, so they don't think anything can match. It literally says there is no equal. It's just the McDonald's fry.
Yep.
Hmm.
I disagree automatically.
Yeah.
Really?
There is no equal category. I would put Five Guys Cajun fries up there easily in the
top
tier.
They have Five Guys in the B tier.
Yeah.
I know. I think that's reprehensible. Once you've had
fries. Reprehensible?
Yeah, the McDonald's fry is a classic, and it's great, and I'm not denigrating it. But
yes,
to say
you
that,
are.
But to say, also, you can fire Arby's curly fries into the sun.
I disagree with
no,
that.
No, I like curly fries
gross.
A lot.
I think
gross.
They're really good. I think the Chick-fil-A waffle fry is overrated here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it isn't good, but to basically put it one step away from GOAT status?
They've got Five Guys two tiers down because it goes Arby's, Culver's, which I've never had, Shake Shack.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mention those.
I can't tell. Is the one
Checkers?
Bojangles or Checkers maybe? A&W?
Yeah.
Portillo's. Whataburger,
How
I think,
Taco
is next.
Bell in the B tier?
Oh, they can...
I feel like Wendy's has pretty good fries.
Chili's is pretty good for like random restaurant fries. Five Guys to me has got to be in like the there should be a top tier, not a one fry to rule them tier for McDonald's. Five Guys is top tier in my opinion, specifically the Cajun ones, because they all you order like a regular sized one, and one of their little marketing ploys is they basically give you double that amount.
I always felt like Wendy's could never get their fries right.
Well, they went to that natural cut, like, where the skin was still on.
Yeah.
And, like, I think they got better when they did that. Also, man, we're really scraping the bottom of the damn barrel. We got Pizza Hut's French fries.
Yeah, I didn't know that some of these places even offered fries.
Oh, yeah, honey.
Bob
you want to go to you want to go to Pizza Hut?
Olive Garden.
Get a personal pan pizza and a couple orders of French fries?
Sure. Denny's.
Have you guys ever, like, tried... The answer is probably no, because it takes some real time. Once you actually commit to trying to make fries on your own at home, like fresh cutting fries,
yeah,
and then like double frying them the right way, which is you fry them for 5 minutes, take them out, let them cool, fry them again, it puts every one of these fries on this list, if you do it the right way, to shame. Homemade. Like, legitimately. I am confident that I can make a better French fry than any of these places.
You know what I'm – I've never done it, but you know what I'm – every time I do it, I'm disappointed by, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because, like, sacrilegious.
Okay.
When we go to Kennywood, I try every time. I'm like, I'm going to go get potato patch fries, and this is going to be the day
that they're good.
Where they're so good that I get what everybody's talking about.
And you never
And
do.
It never happens,
can I
man.
Give you, can I give you the reason, I
it
think?
It never happens. And the last time I went with Stella and Amanda and my sister, it was when they came right out. I mean, I did not mistime it. I watched the dude pour the fresh fries into the tray that was going to get seasoned up and given to me. I mean, they were scorching hot. They would have burned my tongue and the roof of my mouth if I ate them immediately. And I still was like, what the heck?
I've got a take.
What is wrong here? What am I missing?
Kennywood. I have a take. I think they're good fries. I don't think they're great fries. And here's the problem that sometimes you can run into. The outer fries are fine, crispy like they should be. I think the inner fries get steamed a little bit and start to get soggy. I think that's a problem. I will say this about, I have tons of French fry takes. It's probably my like favorite like side in that realm.
Yeah.
Nothing has made French fries more viable for like, you can save some for later than the air fryer, the home air fryer.
Where you can bring them back to life?
Oh,
I agree with that, Chris.
Because it used to be if somebody would screw up by like you could tell a place that really gave a crap by they'd vent like the box so steam would escape and they'd stay pretty hot and they wouldn't steam in the box. Now, though, you got like a pile of fries that are a little soggy. Toss those things in an air fryer for 3 minutes and you've got like just came out of the fryer restaurant quality fries.
A McDonald's microwave French fry might be, if I'm in hell, that's what they're serving me every day. Reheated McDonald's French fries.
Andrew dies and goes to hell. And all it is like a calm room. There's no demons. It's just there's an air.
They're so gross.
There's an air fryer and a microwave and an endless supply of stale McDonald's fries. And the guy always walks over. The devil walks over and acts like he's going to air fry them, then puts them in the microwave and feeds them.
There isn't a food that gets worse faster on planet Earth. McDonald's fries, if they sit out for 15 minutes, you go to have one and it's like,
oh, they're
you choke on them. They dry up so fast.
Yeah, the spectrum of those is wild too, because they're already pre-cooked and then they drop them in again. That's how they come in. They cook them, flash freeze them, and then fry them. If you get them, I will admit this: if you get them fresh out of the fryer with the salt still like visible because it hasn't like melted.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
I'm conservatively saying I could eat 3 pounds of them.
All right,
in a sitting.
I know you're going to disagree with me on this because I just feel like you have to.
How did we get here from CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens getting absolutely hammered?
I know
in
you're
going to
disagree with me on this. If you're dipping your French fries in mayonnaise, I would love to punch you in the face. I would love to be cleared
by law. Let me flip my mic up here. You can
no. Just why? I knew you were.
I think it's. So I don't love the idea of dipping them in like straight up mayo.
No,
hold on. I thought it was ridiculous too, like Royale with cheese seen in Pulp Fiction. If it's at least a mayo that's got some flavor, even garlic or like rosemary mayo, I'll do it. It's not my first choice. Chipotle mayo, it's better. I have been evangelized to this. I think the best sauce to dip French fries in is like a buffalo sauce, by far.
Interesting.
If you're going to do a dip, like, and I think a really good fry is just good on its own, buffalo sauce by a mile.
All right, that was the Donnie Football Debrief.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.